this episode starts, I just want to tell you about Huel and how utterly disgusting it is. It's a dietary abomination, and we absolutely do not endorse it.
The anti-sponsor.
I'm still annoyed, and you can tell. I bought some Huel because they wouldn't send me a review pack. Maybe I would have been a bit kinder to them if I had.
You can't say stuff like that.
Well, I felt so scorned because I'd spent 50 quid on like really unpleasant, savory Huel that I was particularly aggressive with them in my review.
I just think there's no excuse to have to rely on something like that.
So I bought it 2.5 years ago. Like, it was during the first lockdown, and I've still got the bag, and I think I threw it out the other day because I was like, you know what? I'm never going to get around to eating this. Even when, you know, when you like, you haven't done a grocery shop in a while and you're scraping the barrel and you're eating like the rice cakes in the back of your cupboard and stuff.
We've gone a bit chewy.
Then the Huel, I'm like, no, I'll just go hungry. I'll be fine.
I really wanted to like Huel, like the regular, like the protein shake form, just because of the convenience. It's like the theory being, if I can do like breakfast and lunch or like two meals in the day, that's just a Huel shake. And that means that I'm like satiated and I've hit my protein target and whatever. And I just have to like physically eat in the evening. That's better for productivity. But for the calories, it is not satiating at all. It doesn't taste very nice and it's not very satiating, which are two key parts of food, I think.
It's a shame. Like, if they managed to fix that, if they added some kind of... if it still tasted bad, but it filled you up, would you be willing to go for it?
I'd prefer that it was whey protein. I'm not keen on the fact that they've tried to dodge the... I get the plant-based angle, but if I'm wanting a protein supplement, I would prefer it to be whey, I think. Or whey-based. Milk-based.
Because the whole point is, like, it applies a stop-loss to your diet quality, doesn't it? So it's like, your diet quality will never be worse than this, and it's standardized. So if you're used to just going and getting a Krispy Kreme for lunch, it solves that problem. Like, it gives you a level up. But yeah, the whey thing, have they not got a whey version?
I'm just looking now. So Huel Black Edition. It's pea protein, ground flaxseed, brown, you're going to love that, brown rice protein, tapioca flour, coconut sugar.
Like, they're really scraping the barrel of weird and wonderful plants to avoid putting whey in, aren't they?
Yeah, so basically they're all pea protein and rice protein by the looks of things. I don't know what Black Edition is.
Oh, there goes my camera. But it's okay. I will switch to another one.
Complete protein. Huel complete protein. Have some whey in it. Come on. Pea protein, Faba pea protein isolate. And they've added some lysine and some leucine.
Okay.
I think to call it complete protein, but then have to add in additional amino acids seems odd to me. Powder 3.0. God, they've added a lot of products since I last looked at this. Oats, pea protein, rice protein.
So... quote that comes to mind from Dr. John Sarno about back pain, which is that therapeutic eclecticism is a sign of diagnostic incompetence.
Nice.
This applies to when you take a supplement that has 40 ingredients on the side, all claiming to try and do something. You're like, well, if any of these actually worked, you would just have all of the supplement would be made of that one thing.
Is there any, this is asking you a bit of a heavy hitting question that you maybe don't know the answer to. Are there any negative health consequences to consuming a whey protein powder or a milk-based protein supplement?
I've actually got a video coming out about this soon, but it's not, well, not health consequences. It's about soy and whey.
Okay.
Which I didn't realize would upset people so much. Like, soy
really
is a real, like, hot topic, live wire. It's worse than, like, vaccine or keto or circumcision or, like, any of these really charged topics on Twitter. Soy, bloody hell, gets people going.
Everybody loves soy for some reason. It's interesting to me that, like, Huel have gone so far down this road of, like, everything they make has to be plant-based, and they don't even have a whey protein version. It's very, like...
There goes my tripod. All I want is to film myself. Right, I'll buy a new tripod. There's me breaking my tripod live on the podcast. My God. Here we are, sat on Google Meet, because we've encountered
round upon round of error. And now I'm just on my own.
No, I can't do it.
What were you trying to do?
Trying to find something to balance my phone on. I'm afraid for today, for the rest of today's episode. I mean, you're listening now. Like, I feel like at this point, you can accept Johnny in 4K and me in 10p.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, if you have to leave now, get over yourself. To be honest. If video quality is that important, video quality of specifically of Youssef is that important to you, you probably aren't listening or watching for the right reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a whole OnlyFans just for that. So it's funny.
That's all in 4K.
So I made a joke about that in one of the red light video. And what typically happens, I'm sure anyone listening who's made a bit of content that, like, gets more reach than your usual audience, and suddenly it goes out to the real internet. What happens is any sarcastic comment you make, any joke, doesn't land in the same way. People don't know who you are. So you get a whole bunch of comments of people being like, oh my God, the man's got an OnlyFans. Like, what's, can you believe it? Or what's the link to your OnlyFans? And, like, to me, I thought that's clearly a joke. Like, I even thought the delivery, I'd, like, hammed up the delivery to make it clear that it was a joke. But never underestimate the stupidity of the internet.
I think if you actually had an OnlyFans, there would be part of me that would want to sign up. And let me explain. Not for reasons that most people would sign up for an OnlyFans. I think I just wouldn't be able to sit there and think he's doing something during the day that's really, like, niche and weird, and I've never seen it, and I want to know what he does.
Oh yeah, well, it reflects materially on you as well. So,
well, only to your subscribers.
Do you think it would improve or cause damage to the brand?
Ooh, I think damage. Unless you had a really strong, like, look, I don't do this for income. I do it because I love it.
So it's all about the art.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
I just love putting together, like, pieces of art with myself. But I also know that you wouldn't be able to do it seriously. I think that's why I'd probably have to see some stuff that I'd be unable to unsee.
To be like, oh, actually, he is serious. It's not just a facetious OnlyFans. What size business do you think it would be?
Well, what is that stat of, like, there's some horrendous statistic about, like, the percentage of OnlyFans creators who actually make all of the money.
Oh, it's really pyramid shaped, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is odd because, well, I don't know. I, to be honest, I don't know much about how it works. I don't know how you pick. Like, is there an OnlyFans marketplace? Or
so we actually have a propane OnlyFans, but it's just inactive because their, like, PR team outreached us and said, like, hey, Dr. Youssef, we're trying to get more doctors on the platform, and we're changing the angle a bit. Here are some other like fitness doctor influencer people. And then so I joined, and then like what happens is you log on, it's very much like a Facebook interface. So there's a feed and it's all recommended people.
Okay.
But OnlyFans are having a real hard time shaking the brand. So like there's people who they're like yoga teacher. And then you look on their profile and you're like, ah, they're not really a yoga teacher, are they?
I've been tricked here. This is bait and switch.
Yeah, very much.
But I think you would probably do quite a good job of it, of like marketing yourself at it. Because I think if you were really good at marketing, it's a fairly easy thing to sell, assuming like there's a niche for your product, which there almost certainly is. It's like sex and drugs are like the easiest things to sell, aren't they?
You just got to funnel there's loads of demand there. You just got to direct it
and like, capture some of it.
Very true.
And that's why you see all these like Twitter, like, you know, like there was a period of time where like all the like OnlyFans people and like porn stars got kicked off social media apart from Twitter. And then there was just all these Twitter profiles that were like horrendous, like really, really explicit.
Lewd. Yeah.
Lewd is exactly what they were. Just driving traffic to an OnlyFans link. It's like when we did that podcast with Sienna Day on
that was an amazing insight into the world of like porn marketing funnels.
Mm.
Because from memory, let me know if I've got this right, she was saying that all of the tube sites are just lead magnets, and that she'll go out to shoot for different companies and she'll maybe get paid like an upfront fee, but it's not the big bill payer. That's basically publicity to drive people to her subscription, like Snapchat Premium.
Yeah. Well, and her OnlyFans, I assume. Because I think that was what I asked her. It was like, if there's so much of it available for free, how do you make any money? And like, why would somebody pay you to make a video that is then just uploaded for free? Like, unless it's like ad revenue or there's some other mechanism. But that's when she said, yeah, she explained that it's someone sees like a 5-minute video and they want to see more. And then they find me on OnlyFans or any one of these other platforms. Mm.
It would be exhausting. You'd have to keep creating new content. Like Louis C.K. said, there's already more than enough porn on the internet. Like we could stop making porn and there's still like in an entire lifetime, you could start at A from a baby.
And not get through all the videos.
By the time you die at 75, you still haven't got to the end of anal, you know, like, but I
wonder whether you would ever have to, you'd probably have to traipse through some pretty choice stuff. If you were just forced to start at A and with no discrimination, just watch each video in order.
It would make you a weird person, wouldn't it?
There's some fucking awful stuff.
Well, there was that show Clickbait on Netflix that's about a guy who becomes a bit mentally disturbed because his job is he worked for one of these big like FANG companies, like worked for Facebook, like something like Facebook,
Amazon, Netflix, Google. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was one of the human verifiers of uploaded videos. So it's when a video got reported, him and like this group of people in this team had to like watch through and say whether it was approved or rejected. And so he would get all of the worst gore and things that were uploaded. And then he ended up like, I don't want to spoil the story, but he ended up doing some bad things.
Oh God. Be hard to like, you know, you like wake up on a Monday morning, you like go outside, get light in your eyes because you watch an Andrew Huberman video, you delay your caffeine, you do some meditation, some yoga. You like do your journaling, do gratitude, come to the office, say hi to all your colleagues, like you're having a really productive morning, and then you just watch like illegally violent porn all morning and decide whether it's okay or not. Like it's not very easy to have like a normal life outside of that being the content of what you do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Are you having some technical difficulties?
Here we go. I'm having a crack. Turning the camera back on. There we are. Lovely.
I wish I could tell everyone who tuned out before. Like, wish could go get them and said, "Oh, you can come back and come
back." Don't worry. You'll get 4K again. Yeah.
Right, that's enough about porn. What now?
The reason I did that was because we're getting onto the meat of today's episode, which is something we call RTFM, the common acronym, read the fucking manual.
Flipping manual, you mean?
The flipping manual. I'm going to say that for the not allowed to use profanity in the first 30 seconds of a YouTube video now.
Because that's where all the offended people stop watching.
It must be. This is a concept that we see a lot with people moving online. They'll set up 5 bits of software. They'll get ActiveCampaign and AWeber and connect to OBS and then get overwhelmed and not know where to start and end up doing nothing. And they'll maybe label themselves with being, oh, I'm a technophobe or I'm bad at technology and kind of stop there. But this all comes from this mindset of, I'm either born good with technology or I'm not. And if I can't do it, I'm just going to give up, which is a strange attitude to have, because you've probably, if you've made it this far as a coach, you're obviously self-motivated, you're driven to find the answers yourself, and you're sharing your wisdom and experience with other people. But maybe that's within the domain of fitness and nutrition.
Mm.
And fortunately, it's become so easy now to RTFM that you don't even need to, like in the past, we would have said, oh, just go to the product documentation or ask the software tech support if you're really stuck and they'll help you out. Now you can literally ask a chatbot specifically what you're trying to do and it'll walk you through the steps one by one. But the gap that people fail to bridge is just the fact that you can do that. If you're stuck, you can actually look for the official instructions rather than freeze.
Yeah. Well, I suppose it's the willingness to be a beginner, isn't it? In something. Because we've both encountered, I'm sure we've both, during the years of running ProPain, had entire days devoted to, we've just got this new bit of software. I don't know how this works at all. And to even do the most basic operations with it, you've got to just write a day off and learn how it works. But to do that, you have to, like, at the start of the day, be like, right, I'm shit at this. I need to admit that I know nothing, and I need to be willing to try and figure it out on my own.
I think that's maybe it. It's just having a bit of tolerance to feel stupid for a few minutes while you trundle around, traipse until you're like, okay, I'm just about getting the hang of this. And this is something that came out of Oliver Berkman's book, where he said, it's not that we physically don't have time to read. It's not that we physically can't find 30 minutes in the day. It's that we're so used to things moving so fast that we don't have the patience anymore to sit with something that's that slow moving to be able to get some of the juice from it. And the same applies with learning a new tool. Sometimes I look at stuff and there's some of these AI tools that I'm like, oh my God, like that's so complicated. Surely you have to be a developer to figure that out. And actually you don't, but you just need to accept that it might need half an hour or an hour of just going through really slowly from grassroots basics to just learn how the model works and not expect instant results.
This is, I don't know whether this is where you intended this to go, but this is very linked to something we hear a lot from ProPain business applicants, which is like, I want to hire a company that's going to do this for me. And usually they'll list, the reasons they list are like, I'm bad with technology. I want to, I don't want to figure this out. I don't have time to figure this out. Essentially, that's the saying, a variation of what you just said, isn't it? Of like, I understand right now that what I want is an online fitness business that I can do that instead of face-to-face. And there's all the stuff that I need to figure out in order to get there. I just want someone to do it for me. And that's that's the extreme big red button of all of this. It's like, it's not that I have difficulties with ActiveCampaign or I can't figure out how to build a landing page. It's, I don't want to do any of it. I don't want to even entertain any of it. I just want the result right now.
I wish we could help you, but that's, what would you say to a client that was like, do you know what? I'm not an exercise person. Can you just go to the gym for me? Just lift the weights for me. And then, you know, I'll get the abs and the big biceps and stuff.
Yeah.
Course, you would say to them, well, like, unfortunately, I'd happily, because I like going to the gym, I'd happily go to the gym for you, but the gains will actually appear on my body, not yours. So
yeah, even if a company would set it up for you, it's like, I actually think that's the worst case scenario for something like this, because you're put in charge of something that has been built in a certain way to be run in a certain way, and you don't know how to operate it, and you don't know what to do if something breaks. But if you just go through the process of, like, it's what I always say to people who say, I want you to run ads for me. It's like, no, trust me, no, you don't. That's the last thing you want. Because if someone is going to run ads for you, or run your business for you, or set up your business for you, they're going to charge you a pretty damn big fee to do that, firstly. Secondly, they're going to build it and structure it and run it how they think it should be built and structured and run. And then as soon as you stop paying that recurring fee, you're just left with this thing and you don't know how it works and you can't keep it running.
Yeah, while it's running, it erodes the profits from the agency fees that you pay. And then when it's finished running, you've got no idea how to continue it. You know who are the absolute nuclear warheads of the business world? Are these CEO characters who are stationed, maybe sometimes even by government bailout agencies, to drop into and run failing companies. So when I was with Bulb Gas and Electric recently, fashionable startup that became a big energy provider and then failed. And I really don't envy the guy that has to step in and be the CEO for a tanking company. They have to send in like the special ops to do that. And he's probably, yeah, like Elon had to do it with, well, he didn't have to do it with Twitter, but he did. And it's like, he's not doing a very good job of it, because it's an extremely hard thing to have to do, to just be dropped into a company and expect to like do something with it.
I've heard the analogy of like, it's trying to turn a tanker. So imagine like a big, like a, one of those big ships you see sometimes on the horizon that's got, like, just stacked with containers.
Yeah.
One of those. You must have seen them then. You sound pretty familiar with it. So imagine if I just like helicoptered you in, and there's a really narrow shipping lane. Nice.
Really, the
background.
Oh, there's maybe one in the distance there.
So in that example, I helicopter you in, and I'm like, right, Yusuf, you've got to like just navigate this tanker through this gap. It's not just like spin it and turn it. Like, it takes ages to just gently nudge and turn this tanker, and like to turn a business around that's failing to business that isn't failing is a massive thing. I actually met in one of the businesses I audited as an accountant, I actually met one of these guys who was an FD financial director who'd been brought into a failing company, and he was just working like 15 hour days but loved it, absolutely ate it up.
Interesting.
And he was just going from company to company that was exactly that was in like distress, trying to
I imagine he was a bit of a beast.
Yeah, well, just totally unfazed by things, by bad news,
just being dropped into a burning building and expected to to like bake a cake,
getting your book out, having a sit and think. But I suppose what that's linked to is someone builds a business for you, or someone sets up an ad account and builds it up to £300 a day, and then goes like, right, there you go, there are the logins. See you later. You're like, I don't know how any of this works. I don't know what these buttons mean. I don't know what is an ad set? What does that mean? How's that different to an ad? Is that, what's a campaign? How does that work? And you've got to try and make a decision. And I think people want the outcome, which is ads running, but they don't want to sit and work it out. People want the website, people want the sales funnel, people want the online program, but they don't want to sit and figure it out. And what we always try and get people to see is like, if you just like, we'll help you, we'll give you all the guidance, all the help, all the demonstrations, guide you in the right way, tell you what not to do. But if in 6 months' time you've built all this and you understand how it all works and you've learned the skills of running it all, that is the best case scenario. That is the best place you could possibly be in, because you're not being held hostage by a developer or an agency or a consultant or anybody like that who's done it all for you and doesn't quite let you behind the scenes to figure out how it works and shrouds it in mystery. Like, you understand how it works and you can run it yourself.
Yeah, you're bulletproof. And I've heard you talk about this in terms of like someone asked, do TikTok ads work? And your answer was something along the lines of, well, if you understand the principles of online advertising, then the question isn't really, should I be using TikTok ads or this or whatever? It's that, like, they're just tools that come and fall, that come and go, mm-hmm. they with the times. But if you only focus around, like, I'm just going to learn this one tool, I'm just going to learn TikTok ads only, then you're not transferable. And when TikTok inevitably gets commandeered by the US government for being a big Chinese
propaganda
spy op, yeah, then you're stuck.
Yeah, I think that's the case with all this stuff, right? Like, any, you know, how many like email bits of email software have we used since starting and had to like start from zero? And even if you've used a tool like that before, there's still words and terms and workflows that are different that you've got to learn from zero. And if you just are like, right, drip is the thing, that's the new trendy thing, and you just master that, you have to understand like, what do I need the tool to do? Why am I using this in the first place? What are the functions I need it to have? How do I learn to write a really good email? How do I learn to build an automation that makes sense? Like, those are the skills that'll last, and it doesn't really matter what software you use.
Well, you could take that even further. Like, you look at the really old, like old school Dan Henry type marketers, that they understand the principles of human persuasion and psychology. Mm. And then the way that that is manifested, whether it's putting leaflets through someone's door or writing chatbots, like, it doesn't matter. The principle is the thing that then drives the implementation.
Yeah, like a lot of the Ogilvy stuff, who's like for anyone, people have probably seen like Rory Sutherland do the podcast circuits recently. He's been on like, I don't know whether, has he been on Rogan? I think he has. He's obviously been on Modern Wisdom quite a few times. He's on a lot of different podcasts, but he's the chairman or the vice chairman of Ogilvy Advertising, which is a huge agency started by a guy called David Ogilvy, I think. But a lot of his principles, you could read his marketing book now, and it all just still applies. And he's talking about putting a sales letter together in a magazine or designing a banner ad that's going to go next to a motorway. And you're like, all of this still applies to tools that are around today. But you have to begin at zero, which is like, rather than hiring one of these people that sends me a cold email saying, I'm a copywriter, I'll write you 5 emails and that'll grow your business, take the view of like, I'll just learn to communicate with my leads and my prospects myself. I'll learn to write the emails myself, because then I'll have the skill. And if you have the skill, you can use any tool, apply it to anything, apply it to an Instagram post or a YouTube ad. It doesn't matter. It's the same process.
100%. And then the dots will start to join. Every time you learn a pocket of something, eventually you'll start to see the things joining, and then you're like, now there's the system. And that's our job, to try and accelerate that process for you, to give you the set of principles that's transferable and you can apply to any product that you launch, any offer that you have, any service that you're offering. And it starts with being willing to say, right, I don't know about this. I'm going to start from ground zero, I'm going to follow a process, I'm going to read the documentation, and just not thinking that we're too advanced to sit down and work through the process. And obviously hire a coach to save you the hassle.
A coach, not an agency.
Yeah, agreed.
I think there's a big difference. Because I think, like, look at the incentives that exist with coach and agency, or like, look at like Propane Business and what we do with that. So we give people access to all the information and all of our help. We don't limit the access to that. Our incentive there is for you to get the result that you wanted. Like, we couldn't possibly want anything else. If you don't get the result, all you are is unhappy. If you look at an agency, they don't want to give you all of the information. They want you to be reliant on them. So yes, they want you to get a result, but they want you to get a result that is completely reliant on what they are doing. So they don't want you to learn how it works. They don't want you to have any of the assets. We've heard of agencies where someone will go to cancel and they will like remove the ad copy from their accounts. They will remove the landing pages from their ClickFunnels profiles and all these sorts of things, because it's their intellectual property. And so you had a business that was running, maybe, but only while you were paying their retainer. So that's not a situation you want to get yourself in. You want to learn the skills, because they are not that hard. Like, you don't have to learn to write code from base principles. you have to learn to use tools that people have made so usable, and the information available to learn how to use them is incredible, and it's all available.
So, they've made it so usable because their business relies on general population being able to use them. So it's in their interest as well, and they've got amazing support teams to help you to do it. This fundamentally, this RTFM principle is a mindset problem. It's not a skills problem.
Yeah,
it's masquerading as a skills problem, but we do get people booking calls with us and say, oh, you guys are a platform. Can you, you can like do my ads, run my lead gen for me, and then coach my clients for me. I'm like, well, what are you adding to this? Like, why would someone sign up with you if you were shipping the entire process end to end to another company?
Yeah. Like, what are you doing here in your business that we've set up and we run for you? Like, what, why would we not just do this on our own?
And obviously that just comes from a sense of laziness or unwillingness to engage with something, which is fine. You don't have to do online coaching, but like nobody's going to do that for you. Or if you hire an agency to do it, they're going to charge handsomely for the privilege.
I looked into getting an agency to like consult with us on YouTube ads management, and one agency who's like, he's like a relatively small company, but quite well known, like has done some ads for Tony Robbins and things like that. His retainer before ad spend is 10 grand a month. That's just to run the ads. He doesn't shoot the ads for you. He doesn't edit the ads for you. He just presses some buttons in an ad account. Now scale it up. Now imagine someone's going to make the ads, edit the ads, run the ads, design the funnel, run all the pages, do all the client acquisition, all the client management. And think how much, if you want that done to a really high standard, what that might actually cost. And then it's quite a bit cheaper to just learn to do it on your own.
And your product has got to be incredible if that's what you're doing and you've got the budget for that.
Yeah.
There we go.
I'm going to go cut out some stickers.
Amazing. Looking forward to seeing the results next week.
Be like that, I think.
Oh, beautiful.
Fantastic. So exciting.
In a cone shape.
Yeah, I'll just sellotape this like this. That's what you intended, I assume.
Yeah, that I think that looks really pro.
All right, speak to you next week.